This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
Hi, this is Heath Houck, your Farm Bureau Young Leader from Montgomery County. Montgomery County Farm Bureau farming members receive Farm Week, a free farming newspaper. Farm Week is one of the nation's leading farm publications. Get Farm Week by joining Montgomery County Farm Bureau. For more details, call 217-532-6171 or check our website at www.montgomerycountyfb.com. Or come into the office, brought to you by Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
Prepare yourself for the flu season. Michelle's Pharmacy is now giving vaccines, and the best part, no appointment or prescription is needed. If you or a loved one are on Medicare, vaccines will be billed at no cost to you. Michelle's Pharmacy offers influenza, pneumonia, Zostavax, and Tdap vaccinations. Protect yourself today. Get all your vaccinations at Michelle's Pharmacy in Carlinville and Gillespie. Call 854-4022 or 839-9901. Michelle's Pharmacy, where delivery to your home or office is always free.
Crop insurance continues to be a valuable tool for farmers. Jasper County farmer Bill Michael remembers why he decided to purchase crop insurance coverage for his operation.
In 1983, we had a drought. Our corn averaged 15 bushels to acre. Soybeans averaged 20 bushels to acre. That's what opened my eyes to crop insurance. Ever since then, I've had crop insurance every year.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand the value you place on working with a crop insurance provider that understands today's crop insurance options.
Farm Credit, the crop insurance agents have been very helpful. They're very knowledgeable in the different programs, different policies available. They're just a phone call away. If I have a question, I just make a call and the answer is there.
Call Farm Credit today at 800-444-FARM to discover more about a crop insurance plan to fit your farming operation.
Farm Credit has been a big help insurance-wise. They've been a very big help.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand.
And in farm news on this Tuesday morning, first of all, an electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now. December wheat trading at 872 and three quarter, down 11 and one half. March wheat trading at 884 and three quarter, down 11 and a quarter. December corn trading at 753, down 3 3/4. March corn trading at 755 and three quarter, down 4 1/4. November soybeans now trading at 1542 and a quarter, down 18. January beans trading at 1545 and a half, down 17 and one half. The overnight crude oil market, 31 cents higher at 92.79. The Brent crude, 9 cents lower at 112.10. The December gold contract, $2 lower at $1,781.30. And the U.S. dollar index, 0.162 lower at 79.662. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, December wheat ended at 884 and a quarter, down 18 and a quarter. March wheat closed at 896, down 16 and a quarter. May wheat closed at 895, down 11 and a quarter. December corn yesterday ended at 756 and three quarter, up a half. March corn ended at 760, up a half. May corn ended at 755 and three quarter, down 3/4. November soybeans yesterday ended at 1560 and a quarter, down 40 and 3/4. January beans ended at 1563, down 39 and 3/4. March beans ended at 1529 and a half, down 34 and 3/4. October soybean meal yesterday ended at 474.60, down 124. December meal ended at 474.50, down 124. January meal ended at 472.30, down 116. October soybean oil yesterday ended at 50.72, down 146. December oil ended at 51.19, down 147. January oil ended at 51.54, down 146. December oats yesterday ended at 366 and a half, down 4. March oats ended at 371 and three quarter, down 4 1/4. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash grain recap.
This is Monday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Monday afternoon, with wheat and soybeans closing lower. Fund selling at the Board of Trade helped to push soybean and wheat futures lower. The USDA's weekly crop progress report indicated the Illinois corn harvest was now 71% complete, compared to 50% 1 week ago. The state soybean harvest had reached 22% completed. That compares to 8% last week. Northern and Western Illinois grain deals quoted their corn bid steady to a penny higher at 7.24 to 7.47. Soybeans were down 41 to 49 cents at 15.12 to 15.44. Central Illinois grain deals quoted their corn bid steady to 1 cent higher at 7.50 to 7.67. Soybeans down 41 to 52 cents at 15.38 to 15.55. Corn bids in Southern Illinois were steady to a penny higher at 7.44 to 7.72. Soybeans down 41 to 46 cents at 15.30 to 15.56. Wheat was 16 to 20 lower at 8.49 to 8.70. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bid were 41 to 51 cents lower at 15.60 to 15.75. Basis was steady to 10 cents lower at option to plus 15 over the November. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis was 1240 to 1440 lower per ton at 482.60 to 487.60. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were 1 cent higher at 667 to 682, with basis steady at plus 10 to plus 25 over the December. Dry distillers grain was soluble, was steady at 265 to 295 per ton. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their corn bid steady to 1 higher at 731 to 732. Soybean steady at minus 25 to minus 26 the December. The soybeans ended 31 to 41 cents lower at 1540 to 1550, with basis steady to 3 cents higher at minus 20 to minus 10 the November. New crop wheat was down 9 to 13 cents at 814 to 824, with basis steady to 4 higher at minus 40 to minus 30 the July. East St. Louis Barge Loaded Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 1 cent higher at 717 to 741. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 41 cents, with quotations at 15.52 to 15.70. Wheat closed 18 cents lower at 8.49 to 8.50, and Milo was 6 cents higher at 7.05 to 7.06. Contract bids to producers for January delivery on corn in northern western Illinois range from 7.36 to 7.54, and soybeans 15.32 to 15.53. Central Illinois corn contracts for January went at 758 to 779, with soybeans 1551 to 1570. Contract bids to producers for January delivery in southern Illinois on corn range from 752 to 787, soybeans 1547 to 1575, and June-July delivered soft red winter wheat from 804 to 824. This is Kent McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, October hogs ended at 77.57, up 40. December hogs ended at 75.12, up 137. February hogs ended at 82.02, up 177. October cattle yesterday, 123.02, up 95. December cattle, 126.12, up 142. February cattle, 129.55, up 112. October feeder cattle yesterday ended at 144.67, up 87. November feeders, 145.62, up 127. January feeders ended at 148.12, up 75. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Monday. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Afternoon Hogs, negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 4,100 head today. They're trading 6 cents higher from $69 to $85, with a weighted average of $74.78. And in Illinois today, there was 1,200 head of bears and gilts sold. Primal cutout value for a hog carcass was up 41 cents today at $80.90. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Monday. Hogs are at 437,000 on the day. That's up 1 from last week and up 7,000 from last year. Cattle are at 126,000 on the day. That's down 2,000 from last week and down 4,000 from last year. USDA's estimated box beef choice cutout values. There was a total of 145 fabricated loads and 46 trim loads. Choice carcasses were up 21 cents at $1.89.19, while selects were down $1.23 at $1.76.62, leaving the choice select spread at $12.57. And at the United Producers Livestock Auction in Salem on Saturday, they had a special feeder cattle auction. There were 705 head on offer. Feeder steers, medium and large ones, 4 to 5 weights from $1.55 to $1.60, 5 to 6 weights from $1.48 to $1.58, and 6 to 7 weights from $1.29 to $1.38, with a few value added at $1.46. Large 3 Holsteins, 4 to 5 weights from $1 to $1.09, 5 to 6 weights from $1.03 to $1.07, and 7 or 6 to 7 weights from $1 to $1.03. Medium and large one heifers, 4 to 5 weights from $1.46 to $1.55, 5 to 6 weights from $1.46 to $1.54, and 6 to 7 weights from $1.22 to $1.31. Thank you. Again, this has been Joe Massey with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, $1.95 unchanged; for block cheese, $2.08.5 up 1; for barrel cheese, $2.03.5 unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, $21.13. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for October, $7.19; for November, $7.52. Corn delivered to Scottville for October, $7.19; for November, $7.46. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for October, $15.43; for November, $15.75. Wheat delivered to Scottville for October, $8.30. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again: corn at Greenfield, $7.19. Corn at Scottville, $7.19. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $15.43. Wheat at Scottville, $8.30. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Time now for a check of Color Radar weather. Color Radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of Color Radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Get more from every acre by using MicroEssentials fertilizer with patented Fusion technology. Only MicroEssentials combines vital nutrients in one uniquely formulated, nutritionally balanced granule, creating a single source for balanced crop nutrition. The unique chemistry of MicroEssentials ensures optimum nutrient distribution and that all-important nutrient uptake for increased yields across every acre.
M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Cloudy skies across mid-Illinois for today with a chance of showers. High temperatures about 70 degrees with north winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy skies with a slight chance of showers. Low temperatures in the mid-50s. And for tomorrow, Wednesday, a chance of morning showers, then clearing, the high about 70. Your extended forecast for Thursday through Saturday: partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers each day. Low temperatures in the low 40s, highs in the mid to the upper 50s. Right now, north winds at 6 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is steady. Our temperature, 50 degrees. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is next.
I'm Brad Gillespie. I grew up in Shipman, and after high school, I enlisted in the Army Reserves, where I served in Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm. I worked as a union laborer before returning to college and law school. Now I'm running for state representative because it's time that our voices are heard in Springfield. I'll fight for economic development, to end wasteful spending, and for equitable funding for education. I will always put the interest of our district ahead of partisan politics.
Paid for by a citizen for Brad Gillespie.
Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. Monday, we talked to Derek Dunkirk of Morrisonville, the president of the Illinois Pork Producers Association. We discussed the quarterly hogs and pigs report released Friday by the Department of Agriculture. Derek said the numbers did not surprise him.
No, and that's kind of what, you know, I anticipated, Randy, is that I don't think we're seeing a big change in numbers yet. I think, weights in the slaughter have been a little lower lately. I think that's probably in turn a lot of the summer heat and stuff like that. We're kind of getting through that, though, also. Not a big change or a drastic change in numbers, and that's kind of what I expected to see.
You mentioned earlier, though, you said the key word, yet. Do you think they will change?
I'm not going to say that. I don't think we'll see some fall off in numbers maybe later in the year, or even, you know, I think it'll take a while to spill over in the next year.
It seems like a lot of time of pork producers here lately has been taking up the topic of a shortage of pork that it seems to be in the news, but that's not going to be the case, is it?
I know, Randy. The story last week that sparked some media controversy over, you know, supply of pork and especially bacon, that's not really a big scare. I think that there's going to be an ample supply of bacon, an ample supply of pork for folks. No outages or shortages in the stores like some people were leading to.
Also, another topic that's been in the news lately is the use of gestation stalls, and they're trying to get away from that, aren't they?
Yeah, there's quite a few retailer, wholesaler companies, quick service restaurants and things like that have been bringing out announcements, about the rate of one or two per week, it seems like, anymore, about trying to make a move away from gestation stall-free pork. As to my knowledge, the national herd right now, that pork will be awful hard to be able to get their hands on. It'd take a while to make a kind of transition like this, and we as pork producers are still holding true to the fact that we think it's up to the individual farm operator, owner, manager, company, whatever, to, you know, make that decision of what's best for their animals on their farm and the way they take care of them.
You know, another thing I noticed in the hogs and pigs report the other day is the amount of pork produced in what quote-unquote company farms, factory farms. It's still less than half, isn't it?
Right, yep. There's still a large share of the pork that's being, raised on, more traditional farrow-to-finish operations, and then also a lot of newer-style, family-style partnership operations where guys maybe joined up forces to kind of help each other out a lot.
6:26 on this Tuesday morning, and that's Derek Dunkirk of Morrisonville. We continue our farmer checks on WSMI. We talked to Mark Nodal of the Fillmore area. They finished shelling corn a few weeks ago, and he said they're just starting to cut beans.
We finished a few weeks ago, like on the 13th, shelling corn, and now, in the meantime, we're getting ready for beans, and we just kind of started this weekend, and actually, they're turning out a little better than we thought they might.
Did you plant your beans a little later than most everybody else did?
We planted some, actually, the end of April there, and those beans aren't actually maturing quite as good as some of the other ones. They start and give up and die, and then the 1st of August, we got a rain there that brought them back to life, and they just aren't maturing right like some that was actually planted in May. But they're probably a few days behind, and they're going to look a little rougher because they've got brown pods and green leaves on there. But we'll probably, if we could get some sun like they was talking we were supposed to get this week, but they kind of changed the forecast on us, they'd probably go in a couple days. But we're just kind of seeing what the weather does, and I think we're going to maybe get to cut some today. Maybe till it rains. They're talking maybe a rain around 5 o'clock or so if we get that. So.
What has the quality been for what you've cut so far?
Actually, quite good. And like I was saying, some of them earlier beans, just in the pods and stuff, when we went out there and walked in them, the little beans just don't look as pretty. They're kind of misshapen and don't look near as nice as the other ones that we've actually cut already. So,
have you got any fall tillage in your plans?
We've actually done a little bit of corn stalks on some of our darker soils. We ran the ripper on that to break a little bit of compaction. And we'll probably get the disc out, maybe disc some lime in on some other corn stalks that we're going to put some on there. But we was mowing around the corn stalk fields and everything with the bush hog and stuff and started to do a little bit of tillage too. Not a whole lot, but we've done some.
Your ripper that you mentioned a minute ago, how often do you use that?
Oh, it depends on what we're actually doing and stuff. If we're in a rotation of corn, soybeans, and stuff, we like to do it when it's in corn stalks. Probably one out of the 4 years and stuff. About once every 4 years, unless we really compact it when we're putting the crop in or taking it out. And we haven't really done that the last couple of years. So a good rule of thumb for us around here and stuff is to do it once every 4 years, and we always like to do that when it's in corn stalks. But if there is compaction trouble, we'll go out there and hit it every year, every time it's in corn stalks too. So,
but that like you said, also that depends upon what type of dirt you have, right?
Right. Yeah, the darker soil and stuff probably needs it more than the lighter soil. The lighter soil that we've got, some of it, it'll kind of run back together before the black ground will. And sometimes you're kind of defeating your purpose if you go out there too often doing it on the lighter soil.
Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau recently talked to a former area resident who has put together an interesting career in agriculture, and she reports.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting agriculture news here on WSMI. We were in Western Illinois recently. We were talking with a pioneer professional. His name is Kyle McClellan, and he is another product of the WSMI listening area, proud to be a part of today's agriculture. We talk with Kyle about his life in Macoupin County and about his career with Pioneer. Pioneer account manager over in Western Illinois. And Kyle, we're in Kinderhook. We're talking today about a lot of your products and sort of a harvest update from this part of the state. But as you shared with me, you grew up in Macoupin County and you definitely had a farm and a Pioneer background.
Well, as you talk to a lot of Pioneer people and sales reps and people that have bought Pioneer for a long time, the neat thing about Pioneers is there's always a lineage. And even myself included, my dad was a sales rep for several years. And, you know, when you grow up in the Pioneer culture and you see how Pioneer treats their customers and treats their people, there's just something different about Pioneer people. So I always wanted to be involved in the Pioneer business and was lucky enough to get a chance to work for Pioneer and been with the company for almost 8 years, 7 years going on eight. And it's been a great experience. And the thing about Pioneer is we love the company. We're passionate about what we do, who we represent. And I think that really shines through.
Now, when you say you always knew that you wanted to, we're talking about a young age that you actually knew what you wanted to be when you grew up.
Yeah, I have people that tell me that when I was in junior high, I would tell them I want to be a Pioneer agronomist. And, you know, that's pretty cool. A lot of people go to college and they end up doing something totally different than what they studied. But I've always known for a long time I wanted to be involved in agriculture and be on the farm, and Pioneer was a good way to do that. And luckily, it was the same company that I always wanted to work for.
Talk a little bit about that family operation, where you grew up there in the county.
I grew up in northwestern Macoupin County. My dad still farms there, and I currently live in Jacksonville and I don't cover Jacksonville, but I cover west of the Illinois River all the way to Quincy and north of Quincy up towards Warsaw. But it's a good family operation, still active, and you know, there's a lot of things that I learned there that I share with all our Pioneer customers today, things that I learned, things that I see. And if you're selling seed, it's always good to be grounded to the farm, because you know the things that your customers deal with day in, day out. If you just truly don't understand it, it's very hard to understand where your customers are coming from a lot of the time. But if you've been there, if you've done that, it's a lot easier to be on their level.
We also talked a little bit about your FFA career and there at Greenfield High School. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, at Greenfield, you get really involved in everything, and that's been a long, long time ago. But it's a good school. It's a good small community. It was a great place to grow up, and there are great, great people in that community. And it was a nice place, and it is something that you'd want for your kids, that's for sure.
Anything else that you would add just about, you know, choosing this path, this career path, and being a part of ag today?
I think that any young kid that has a good work ethic and a good drive, I think that crop science or agronomy is a good business to get into. I've got a younger brother, and he's also entering that career, and I'm very supportive of that because I know it. So it's a very worthwhile and fulfilling career. When you get home at night, you feel like you've had a good day, and really that's all you can ask for in a career and a job. Feel like you're making a difference with customers, helping them do the right thing and helping them out on issues that they need helped out on.
Kyle McClellan, another great product of Macoupin County, working in today's agriculture. For WSMI, I'm Rita Frazier.
And some other farm news on this Tuesday morning. While Sunday's expiration of the 2008 Farm Bill won't have an immediate impact on most farm programs, farm groups have been calling for action on a new bill as soon as Congress returns to Washington following the November election. National Council of Farmer Cooperatives President and CEO Chuck Connor weighed in Friday, stating that America's farmers, ranchers, and growers need the certainty that comes from knowing the rules of the games as they begin to make planting decisions for the 2013 crop year this winter. But according to former acting Ag Secretary, the agricultural community needs to come together to develop a framework for farm programs that meet the needs of all producers, regardless of the region of the country they farm in or the commodity they grow, in order for Congress to take action. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack doesn't seem too certain about the Farm Bill's prospects in the lame duck session. According to the Hagstrom Report, Secretary Vilsack has said he believes the Republicans are trying to align the bill with the budget proposal of House Budget Chair Paul Ryan, and he is concerned rural Americans will be asked to provide more than their fair share for deficit reduction. Secretary Vilsack added that the process is more complicated now. Instead of the focus being solely on rural America, as it should be, he said it's now put into the context of sequester, deficit reduction, and tax policy. The secretary is a bit skeptical, given that the people who couldn't solve those problems in 2 years will now have to solve them in 4 weeks. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Right now, in electronic trading, December wheat trading at 873¾, down 10¼. March wheat trading at 885¾, down 10¼. December corn now trading at 753, down 3¾. March corn trading at 755¾, down 4¼. November soybeans trading at 1544½, down 15¾. January beans trading at 1547¾, down 15¼. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.